Been focused since the beginning of the year on this topic of immeasurably more. That desire to see and experience the immeasurably more that God wants to do in us and the immeasurably more that He wants to do through us. And it works together as God moves in, as He takes up residence in our life through His Spirit, that He's in charge. And He can accomplish so much more than we can if we're in charge. And so part of this has just been learning to recognize God's rule, His authority, and noticing that it's not simply designed to put us down or to squash us into some sort of obedience, but it's designed to set us free and equip us and enable us to do far more than we could ever think. So we've talked about a lot of topics. Next week we'll wrap up the Immeasurably More series. And the last Sunday in February we'll begin a Good News of the Risen Lord series as we lead from then all the way up into Resurrection Sunday. But as I thought about this immeasurably more, I thought about one of those elements that often becomes lacking in our life because life is full of problems. Amen. Life is difficult. Life is struggles. And so what would it look like with God's help if we lived with immeasurably more gratitude? As I looked at that word, and some of you are thinking, that's a lot of letters in gratitude. And so we're not going to use that word as the outline. So if you didn't bring lunch, you're probably still okay. But I looked at gratitude and I kind of viewed it in my mind as a contraction. You know, we have these words that we put together and we use an apostrophe and it's not in this word. But what if it was? What if it was GR apostrophe attitude? And the GR was great attitude. Because I think if we began to realize that the gratitude God wants us to live with is a gratitude that gives us the ability to have a great attitude, it ought to change the way we look at life. It ought to change the way we look at one another. It ought to change the way we deal with the difficulties. Because this attitude that God wants us to live with is generally pretty easy when everything goes well. When it goes according to our plans, we often have a good attitude. It's when it goes against our plans, when it's a struggle, when we are suffering because of what's going on around us, our attitude often diminishes a little bit. Or maybe more than just a little bit. And so this immeasurably more gratitude is allowing God to form how we look at everything. And we're going to be spending time in Colossians chapter 3. And the shortened version of the title is simply Give Thanks. And in case you're wondering, we're actually going to use the give as the outline, the four letters instead of the six letters of thanks. So you ought to be filled with gratitude already. But I want you to hear what Paul writes to the Colossians in chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. And after we hear this, after we look at this, I want to come back and discuss what give thanks might look like tomorrow. What it might look like Saturday morning. We kind of have an idea of what it looks like on Sunday morning. You're here, you're worshiping with us, you're giving thanks to God through your songs and your praise and your listening and your time with Him. Tomorrow's a little more difficult. Colossians 3, beginning at verse 12. Therefore, because we are one in Christ, if you want to go back later and look at the first part of chapter 3, you can see what he's talking about. But because we are one in Christ, because we are equal in Christ, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all of these virtues, put on love. Because love binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Oh, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Immeasurably more gratitude. Learning to give thanks in all circumstances. What would it look like if the world around us, if our coworkers, if our fellow students, if our neighbors, if our family members began to see us as a different person, as a new creation in Christ who is filled with gratitude? I think we begin to give thanks when we recognize the need for generous thanks. Sometimes we kind of become a little bit stingy with our thanks that we give and express to others. We start to evaluate, is this worth saying thank you? They really didn't do that much. It's really something they should have done anyway. And we come up with all kinds of reasons and justifications of why we're not generous in our giving of thanks. But Paul says, because we are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, we ought to clothe ourselves, we ought to wear, we ought to put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Characteristics, if you jump over to Galatians, you'll discover are parts of that fruit of the Spirit. They're the things that God produces in us we can't do on our own very well. And because God produces these in us, we ought to be generous with our thanks because they're attributes of God. We live life. God tells us in a chapter earlier in Colossians 2, verse 7, that we are rooted together and built up in Christ. We are strengthened in faith. And we ought to be overflowing with thankfulness. This idea of generous thanks as it's just becomes a natural part of who we are. We talked in Sunday school class this morning. We're working our way through the book of Galatians, nearly finished with that. But that idea that there's this war that's going on, this spiritual battle that we often think of taking place in the spiritual realms, which the Bible says is taking place. But part of that spiritual realm exists within us. And it's a battle between the sinful nature, the nature of our flesh, and the spirit nature that God has put within us. And the spirit nature that God has put within us ought to be overflowing with thankfulness. And we become thankful for one another. 2 Corinthians 4:15 talks about the idea that when we live in Christ, when we live in unity with one another, this thanksgiving overflows to God. It's one of those that I always a little bit disappointed that we spend a one-day holiday focused on Thanksgiving, and then the very next day we fight each other over the latest bargain at Walmart. That generous thanks somehow lost its way between Thursday and Friday. But it ought to not simply be a holiday that we set aside to remind us to be thankful. It ought to be a way of life for God's people. And we become generous in thanks when we recognize that every person in this room this morning, every person that are engaged with this online, is valuable to God, and we are thankful that you are participating and belong to God. There are no second class, third class, any other class citizens in God's kingdom. We are one in the body of Christ, and we ought to be thankful for each person that God adds to the body. When the church was born on the day of Pentecost, and people were convicted by God's Spirit about what they needed to do, and they were being immersed into Christ, and their sins were forgiven, and they were given the gift of God's Spirit, it says that the Lord added to their church. And that day, 3,000 souls were added, but it goes on and says the Lord added to their number daily. And while we can get caught up on the daily aspect of it, and I think we ought to be involved in sharing Jesus every day, the point that I want to get at today is it was the Lord that added. If He's adding to our number, we ought to be thankful for each one that He adds. Because He knows what He's doing. And we learn to live with this immeasurably more gratitude when we give thanks as we are generous with our thanks. We've talked already in this series about being more immeasurably more giving. And part of that giving is the giving of thanks. Sometimes we examine our wallets and we say, well, I can't give very much. And we forget and we lose sight that some of the greatest gifts that we can give don't cost anything. But it's an extension of ourself. And so we recognize and we experience the immeasurably more gratitude that God wants us to live with when we become generous with our thanks. But we also live with a growing immeasurably more gratitude when we become intentional with our thanks. And I believe it's the intentionality of our willingness and desire to give thanks that will help us to be more generous, because then we begin to look for ways to say thank you. We begin to look for ways to appreciate one another. We begin to look at the how. He goes on in the passage he read out of Colossians 3 in verse 13. He says, bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all of these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. As I thought about this and began to spend time with God, I thought about that intentionality of giving thanks. Why don't we do it more often? Well, sometimes it's because within the body there's this lack of forgiveness, there's this lack of humility, there's this lack of unity. And when we intentionally look at one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, and we forgive just as God has forgiven us, we become intentional about that relationship. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says that we ought to make requests and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving for everybody. We become intentional in recognizing that this applies to the people that we like. This applies to the people that we don't like. This applies to the people that we know. This applies to the people that we don't know. He goes on in that passage that he wrote to Timothy and specifically narrows in on governing authorities. And we become intentional. We look at that and we think, well, yeah, pray for governing authorities. But in the context there, he's talking about requests. He's talking about prayers. He's talking about intercession. He's talking about giving thanks. And one of the things that we learn as Christians is how to be thankful for one another, even when we disagree. God has given us incredible variety and incredible freedom to live life as He designed. And we're not all going to like Dr. Pepper, but I love you anyway. And when we learn to not let the little things of life become those disagreements, and we learn to forgive one another. You know, I forgive those that put pineapple on pizza and ruin it. You see, that's not in here. And we become intentional in being thankful that some people like it this way and some don't. And we carry that into the more serious things of life. It's easy to laugh about the silly stuff. Well, at least to me, it's silly stuff. There may be somebody out there adamant about pineapple on pizza that it isn't silly to them, but it's easy to laugh about that. But do we intentionally give thanks for people that disagree with us in areas that are not biblical, but are more important to us than they are to someone else? This intentionality of giving thanks says that I value people more than I value stuff. In Ephesians 5, verse 20, he tells us to always give thanks for everything. That takes intentionality. Because there are things that happen in life, there are things that we endure, there are things that we go through, that on the surface there's no visible reason to be thankful for it. But by faith, we follow God's word, we trust Him, and we thank God for whatever it is He's going to do that we do not understand right now. And we give thanks through generous thanks, through intentional thanks. We also give thanks through vertical thanks. It's where we learn how to be thankful for one another. We learn to be thankful for God. He says in verse 15 of Colossians 3, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, because as one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts toward God." I love this passage because he intertwines the thankfulness and gratitude and praise that we have as we share together in worshiping God with this thanks that's vertical to God. When we become thankful for God's work in our life, throughout Paul's letters, you'll find these phrases that he's always giving thanks to God. He wants to make it clear that even as he addresses various difficulties, most of the letters that we have in the New Testament that were written by Paul are there because there was a problem. The Christians weren't living like they should be living. They weren't treating one another like they ought to be treating one another. And Paul found it necessary to write to them and tell them to get their act together in kind of broad terms. But even when he knew that his position and his job and his responsibility was to correct those who were in the wrong, he would always begin by saying, "I thank my God every day for all of you." And that vertical thanks was what allowed him to address those who were sinning, those who were wrong, those who were causing division with love. Because when we get the vertical thanks right, we recognize just how much God has forgiven us. And when we begin to get the vertical thanks and the acknowledgement of how much God has forgiven us right, we begin to see how much we ought to be forgiving others. That lack of forgiveness can be a huge barrier and being thankful for one another. And so we learn this vertical thanks. We learn this thanks to God. 2 Corinthians 9:15, Paul has been writing and he's talking about God's gifting, and he uses that phrase. It's one that a lot of them that I love, but it's one that I really love out of Scripture. It says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." And when we begin to recognize the gift that God has given us through Jesus Christ, when we begin to recognize the gift of family that he has brought us into, it's not simply thanking all of you for being a part of this. It's thanking God for bringing us together. And when we thank God for bringing us together, we realize and we recognize and we acknowledge that he is the thread that holds us together. So many times a church can easily get built around a personality. And when something goes wrong with that personality that is built around, the church seems to disintegrate. But when it's built around the personality of Jesus Christ, and our vertical thanks continues to be offered to God for what he is doing, then we are brought together in a way of strength, in a way of unity. We understand God's desires that his church would be a light set upon a hill. That Jesus is seen not only by what we do in here, but more importantly, by what we do out there. There may well be some that stumble across the broadcast that we do of these services, and they hopefully see the light of Jesus by what we do in our time together. But there are immeasurably more number of people that see you than what see this broadcast. And so you and me, we become the light of the world as we represent Jesus beyond this building. And when we learn to give that vertical thanks, we learn to put God at the center of everything. And so we give thanks. We give thanks in an immeasurably more way when we're generous with our thanks, when we're intentional with our thanks, when we're vertical in our thanks, but when we're expressive in our thanks. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 12, he's talking about the believers helping one another. And he says, this service that you provide, that you perform, is overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. I think it's still out there, and they use different terms and languages generations go on. But I remember a time where a Christian couple developed and wrote a book and lots of studies about the five languages of love. And it dealt with the fact that we take in and we express love in different ways. And the idea was that it would help people understand that you may receive love in one way, but your spouse may receive it in a different way, and how to learn to interact with one another. But I think that also was true with this idea of giving thanks. That we learn how others hear. And for some, those expressions of thanks may be a verbal thank you. Simple enough. For some, it may be a card. For some, it may be a text or a phone call. For some, it may be a gift. It may go on and on. But it's that realization within God's word that there's many expressions of thanks being offered to God and being offered for one another. Finishing out the section that we've already read out of Colossians 3. Verse 17, he says, "And whatever you do, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." These many expressions of thanks come when we recognize that whatever we do ought to be an expression of thanks to God for what He's doing. It ought to be an expression of thanks to God for one another. And sometimes we like to divide up our life into this is the Christian part, this is the work part, this is the home part, this is my own part. And we think, well, if I'm operating in this area, then I'll be thankful. If I'm operating in this area, then it's me and I don't have to be thankful because it's all about me. And if I'm operating in this area, it's something different entirely. And God says, whatever you do, whether you leave here and you go out to lunch, or whether you leave here and you go home and take a nap, whether you leave here and you go visit a neighbor, whether you leave here and whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God, giving thanks. Those expressions of thanks become thankful to God for allowing us to share together, to encourage one another, to learn together. And when we express that thanks to one another, we practice expressing it to the people that are our neighbors, that are our co-workers, that are our fellow students. When we live life so that the details of what we do bring thanks to God, we represent Him in a way that the world begins to notice. When Jesus said that the world knows that we belong to Him by the way we love one another, this idea of giving thanks is one of those expressions. So we go out. We sit around the dinner table, whether it's at home, whether it's at a restaurant, wherever it is. Do we grumble? Do we complain? Do we talk badly about people, about fellow church members, about others? Or do we give thanks? Are we thankful that we are able to be together and worship God? Are we thankful that God uses us in different ways? Are we thankful for the opportunities? Are we thankful for the difficulties? James writes and he says that you should consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. Wait a minute, that can't be right. But that's what it says. Why? Not because the trials are good, but because they produce something good in you. And we learn to give thanks and express that to God even in the midst of difficulties, because we know that we have a God that never will leave us nor forsake us. And we could go row by row, and there is testimony filling this room of people that have been through great, great, great difficulty and learned to give thanks in the midst of it. And by their giving thanks, they became a witness of the goodness of God to those who were watching. You see, that's the point. That's the reason why God desires to do immeasurably more in us and through us through immeasurably more gratitude, is because it helps people to see Jesus. It's not so that people notice us, it's so that people notice Him in us. And so this morning, as we come to a time of decision, the question really comes down to what is it God wants each one of us to do? I believe it requires that we sit with God for a moment, perhaps even more than a moment, and examine, what is my level of gratitude? How thankful am I? And I always like to follow that up with a question. Would whatever your answer is regarding how you perceive your level of gratitude, would your spouse agree with you? Would the person that you spend the most time with throughout the week agree with you? Would your coworker agree with you? Would your fellow student agree with you? See, we can claim that we're very thankful, that we're really good at this gratitude thing. The people around us might not have the same view. Experience says they're probably more accurate because they're the ones that hear us grumbling rather than saying thank you. And so that decision that God's Spirit calls us to is a decision, what will I do about where I'm at in my level of gratitude? Will I be generous with my thanks? Will I be intentional with my thanks? Will I be vertical with my thanks? Will I offer many expressions of thanks? Will I grow so that God can do immeasurably more? It all begins with that relationship with God. As we've gone through this, he talks about living by faith, allowing God to do the work. If you're here this morning and you've never been immersed into Christ, you've never surrendered to him and says, God, I want you in charge, that's where it begins. And I'd love to talk with you about that, to help you on that journey of knowing Christ more fully. In just a moment, we're going to have a song of decision at a time that you can come. You can meet me over here in the room on my left, and we can talk about that, and we can pray together. But for most of us, as we've gathered here today, we've made that decision. That's why we came here to worship God. And God's desire is that today we grow in gratitude. Not that we reach where we want to be, not that we reach where we ought to be, but that we grow. And as we grow, we continue to see God do immeasurably more as we give thanks in all circumstances. If you need somebody to talk with, to pray with, regarding where you're at in your gratitude, you're welcome to come and meet me over here to my left. And we can pray together. But I pray that whatever your decision is today that God's Spirit has been convicting you of, that you make it. And that you follow through. And that you give thanks to God for His goodness and His faithfulness. Would you stand as we sing?